Live from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show
that everybody in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Look, no one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Friday edition of the program, alongside Houston Kress and Davey Hudson. I'm Nate Hodges. Hope you've had a good week. Hope you have a big holiday weekend planned. We'll help you try and get through the next 3 hours of your work day. Last night in the NBA, we had what a lot of people would say a surprising result.
The second big surprise in this series.
And then on Rocky Top, talking Tennessee football, what I would classify as a shocker. It is Friday. You guys doing all right? Doing all right, Houston?
Oh, thank you for bringing us into the show. I just appreciate that. Nice of you.
Do you like that? You've never given me a yay or a nay on that. John Reed always talks about how he has to welcome everybody to the show.
Yeah, it's polite.
You like that? Okay. I'm just checking. I'm just getting your official answer on the air, I guess. I don't know. Most people, when you do the, would you rather have the good news or the bad news? Most people opt for bad news first, right?
No, I just say don't tell me the bad news.
Well, you're weird. You don't eat cheese.
Yeah, you are
on
weird.
Food.
You are really weird.
So we're
you're kind of a creep.
You're like it's kind of like when
like
you take
a lot of serial killer characteristics
when you
fit over the Davey Hudson Venn diagram here.
When you take a survey and there's always an outlier and you kind of throw them out, that's what you just became, Davey. You're the outlier here. You have to know the bad news.
Nah, you just ignore it.
If there's good news and bad news, you have to get it at some point. That's the game. Do you want the good news first or the bad news first? Most people want the bad news, right? First?
Yes, Nate. What are you doing? What are you trying to say? Spit it out.
Okay.
So you don't want to introduce us? You don't want to have a good morning
I
session?
I did. That's
spit
what
it
I
out.
Did.
Spit
I introduced
it out.
You.
Spit it out. What do you need to say?
I'm just deciding where we're going to start. So let's start with Darren Kirkland. Let's get it over with. This was surprising. I don't think anybody saw this one coming. A lot of people said, well, you know, when you get Jeremy Pruitt in, a new coach, there's going to be some departures. There's going to be some players that, you know, and it's really easy to blast these future players that you're not talking about specifically, right? It's really easy to say, hey, there's going to be players that won't be able to work as hard as Jeremy Pruitt will want them to, and they're going to have to leave, and you know, they're... It'll be those weak Butch Jones players that can't handle it and da 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 da. It's really easy to blast a player that doesn't exist. Now, you mentioned it a few weeks ago, I think, that hey, we haven't really had any big players.
Don't
leave.
You put that on me?
You did say it.
Shut up.
And then
remind people.
And then some people, you know, pointed out. I don't know who it was. Was it who left? Quay Piku or something like that?
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, Now it
correct.
It looks like Darren Kirkland Jr. is
no, it doesn't
look like.
Doesn't look it like is. It's the thing. He's gone.
He's a smart guy. He's graduating in 3 years.
I think I also commented a few weeks ago. I was like, "Oh man, he really graduated early. Good for him."
Houston, you idiot.
Here's what Darren Kirkland tweeted last night. For the last 3 years, the University of Tennessee has been my home. After much prayer, thought, and consideration about what my future holds, I have decided to use my last 2 years of eligibility as a graduate transfer to another university to pursue my graduate degree while playing football. Tennessee will always hold a special place in my heart. These moments have been priceless, and I'm a better player and man from this experience. Darren Kirkland Jr., number 34. He needed to charge his phone. His battery was almost out. It was a screenshot.
Mm-hmm. He had 66 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, all in his freshman year.
He had a pick almost 6 against Kentucky his freshman year, too.
66 tackles were second among SEC freshmen. He made all SEC freshman team. Mm-hmm. We had high hopes. We thought Darren Kirkland was, we thought we had, I remember talking about him. Like, I think we found one here. We got a guy who's starting as a freshman, who's, you know, getting it done on what we thought were pretty good football teams.
Yeah. Oops.
I do remember certain instances and certain games where I begrudgingly pointed out that, you know, he got picked on a lot as a freshman. We're talking about it before the show, that Arkansas game. Where he got matched up in coverage a lot with Hunter Henry, the eventual NFL tight end, and struggled there. Struggled with the run game because Arkansas just runs it right down your throat.
Ironically, that was his highest solo tackles in a game.
Well, that's what's really hard about grading defensive players, especially guys that tackle a lot.
I'm with you.
Yeah, you know, your strong safety, your safety in the box types, your defensive linemen, your linebackers, especially up the middle. I mean, it's easier to kind of look at rush outside linebackers and use just your eyes to see if they're getting pressure on the quarterback or not, even if that doesn't show up in the stat category. It's hard because, I mean, you know, the classic Colton Jumper arguments that divided the fan base on him. It's like, well, he had a ton of tackles, and then the other side's like, yeah, they were all 8 yards down the field.
Yeah, getting drug a few yards first.
Yeah, without looking at, you know, you need almost like a pro football focus type of analytics grading system, and I mean we're going to get into it, the reasons, right? The reasons why Darren Kirkland's not going to play at Tennessee. It'll all be speculation, or, you know,
it's
most
what we're
of
good
it.
At
and one of those, we do know for a fact that the coaching staff has met with at least some players and shown them film of themselves and talked through, like, where they can get better, where they've been poor in the past. I mean, that's standard operating procedure. And this coaching staff, I'm sure, has I don't know if they've gone through and systematically graded every player from, like, every game last year, the year before, all that kind of stuff. But they definitely have some kind of rating in mind for these players and have tried to look at ways that they can get better. I mean, I guess at this point, it's very safe to admit that we as fans probably thought that Darren Kirkland Jr. was a lot better player than he was. Not that we necessarily thought it. Maybe that we wanted him to be.
Yeah, I want to be very careful not to do the whole thing where the guy's awesome, he's going to help your defense, he's going to be a big star, and then he decides to leave. It's, well, he really wasn't that good anyway. Like, I really don't want to try to be that, you know, negative, scorned lover with the we didn't want him anyway type of attitude. Although, as I look back over the stats this morning, I was kind of taken aback because I think in my head his numbers were way better. You know, he had made a much bigger impact on a lot of these football games than he actually did. So I don't know. Like, it's strange. First of all, just the timing of the decision I thought was strange because he had graduated like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think, unless they were just doing some photo ops or something. I'm not sure. But a lot of times guys will go through spring practice and then decide. Obviously, he didn't go through spring practice as a full participant, so I don't know if maybe that weighed something into – I don't know. The timing just seems strange. I mean, it's the end of May. I get that school's almost out or is out, but it's just – I don't know. The timing struck me as kind of funny. And then you can't help but think about what information did he get from the staff? What were those conversations like? What did they tell him about his projection for next year? And why the suddenness? And then why the move at all? I will give Jeremy Pruitt a ton of credit because I said this last week or maybe early this week. Hell, it's happened kind of fast. But he went on record talking about Brandon Kennedy and said, if a guy's graduated, I think he should be able to move and go wherever he wants. When asked last night about Darren Kirkland, he said, as I've said, if you graduate from a university, I think you should be free to move and go wherever you want. If he doesn't want to play here next year, we wish him the best, and we're going to make sure he has whatever he needs to go wherever he wants. So I'll give Jeremy Pruitt some credit. That said, this is a strange one. It's hard, at least right now, to make a lot of sense of this move.
I mean, he was obviously well thought of as a freshman after that complete season.
Of course.
Getting freshman all SEC. I mean, if people watch you play and you're racking up tackles but in the wrong spots and way downfield, you know, you're not going to earn those honors.
Right. No, and I mean,
he wasn't a bad player.
No, he made some plays, not just, you know, tackling the guy you're supposed to tackle, but actually making plays. I will say, you know, as you kind of look at Tennessee's linebacker list and then some of the guys that are coming in, I think you're still okay. Although, I mean, that's other than Batuli, like that was your other star, right? Like that was your other guy that you were really hoping could be your consistent linebacker, could stay healthy, be the senior leader. I don't know. Very strange. Or I guess redshirt junior leader, if they used the medical. I'm not sure how they did that.
In my head, you know, the linebacker position was one that would be okay, but just super thin. And now
they're thinner.
I'm looking at the, you know, you start thinking about the depth chart at linebacker, and you're like, this is not going to be.
They've got
easy.
Seven linebackers right now. According to their roster, and that's counting Austin Smith as a linebacker, and we're not even sure if he's going to be a stand-up guy or a defensive end in the 3-4. So I don't really know what that – I mean, that is not a lot of people for a core that is kind of the head coach's baby, right? I mean, that you don't have a lot to work with. Obviously, you've got a couple of guys coming in that you think can come in and make an impact. I think J.J. Peterson's stock just went way, way up if you were looking to place some futures on freshman tackles, freshman playmakers in the SEC, and not because he's necessarily going to be incredible, but because he's damn sure going to have to play now, and a lot. So I think his projection just went way, way up for the season. Is it the end of the world? Absolutely not. Is it a strange decision at a strange time for a team that really could have used the guy in the position he was in? I think so.
Yeah, One in Stripes says, you know, based off how much Darren Kirkland was injured, I don't know if we ever got to see his true abilities.
Right, yeah.
I'd agree with that.
You know, freshman, he's out there swimming a little bit. I don't even think he was an early enrollee. So he's like learning it as the season goes on and we're seeing him get better. I agree with One in Stripes. I don't know if we ever saw Darren Kirkland Jr. at 100%. What was the game before Virginia Tech that we almost lost? Why can't I not remember?
App State.
The App State game, I don't remember him doing much. I don't remember the team doing much. And then he goes and has that really weird backwards high ankle sprain against Virginia Tech in the second game of the season. Misses, I think, the next six. And then he came back and kept getting dinged up when he would come on the field. I mean, it was one thing after the other. His sophomore season, obviously doesn't play a snap last year. here we all are thinking, okay, he's finally going to be 100% healthy. This should be the year to go. He's got great linebackers, coaches. This is just a shock. This is just a, like I said last night, it was just a blind. I'm not sitting here saying the sky's falling, but this was a blindsiding hit last night to learn that perhaps your best linebacker has decided to be a graduate transfer and play somewhere else.
That's true. You can say maybe we hoped he would be better than he ever actually was, but he still was we saw Batuli fly around. He's a different type of body style, but I mean Kirkland was the best you had at least. He's not what you hope to have in the future moving forward, but for this year's team, for 2018, he was the best you had for that spot, and now he's gone. You know, Jordan Oliver says, don't get me wrong, at first I was worried, but if you were willing to play 3 to 4 years under Butch but not Pruitt, I think I'm okay with it. It's not ideal. It is very odd. I'm not going to freak out, though. I'm not sure this is, I mean, I don't think it's Darren Kirkland saying, I liked Butch Jones, I liked going 4-8, and I don't like the new guy necessarily. I mean, there might be some unfamiliarity and some mismatch between kind of priorities there. But I mean, it's very possible that going through the Butch Jones system and finishing up on a team 4-8 and not getting to play just makes you want to get out of town. It doesn't matter if what you think of Jeremy Pruitt. You might think Jeremy Pruitt's a good football coach, but sometimes you just get sick of it's just tarnished.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's the thing. You can't help but wonder if a guy like that just thinks, man, ever since I've been here, everything's gone crazy. You know, I come in, I have a decent first year, but it's a disappointment the way it finished. Second year, I get hurt, another disappointment. I sit out my third year, my coaches get fired. He might just think, man, this has been way too much. I'm stepping away. I need to go somewhere else and kind of reset my clock, get a recharge on the batteries. And then I'm just kind of like, man, what do you think our fans feel like? We've been here 20, 30 years.
And I don't think there's any way Jeremy Pruitt would have told Darren Kirkland at some point already that, hey, man, you're not going to play. You should look around. Like, it doesn't – like, with,
no,
his, with
like
his
I,
age
– ideally, he's out there with Batuli, J.J. Peterson on one side, and then Cortez Sapp on the other. Like, I mean like, – by the way, J.J. Peterson, I was wrong. The only linebacker you're adding this summer is J.J. Peterson. That's it. He's it. He's the only addition coming to the roster.
Have they determined, is it Allen out of San Francisco? If I guess he's going to play on the end.
Jordan Allen?
Yeah.
Wait.
I thought so.
Yeah. Yeah, he's listed. Jordan Allen's number 8 on the roster. He's the redshirt sophomore JUCO player from City College of San Francisco. That's what we're talking about, right? Fairfield, California. He's listed as a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
So,
and that's UT Sports. That's why I was just reading what they had up there talking about linebackers. You got 7 guys that you've heard of, and not to be negative, but like one of those guys is Dylan Bates, who hasn't done anything to this point. Shannon Reed, you don't know anything about. Will Ignat, you don't know anything about. You know about Batuli, you don't know much about Salon Page, although we heard some good things about him last year. See if that means anything. Nick Humphrey. Landon Knoll. Those are your linebackers now.
You didn't say Cortez Sapp.
Yeah, I didn't. So. I figured everyone kind of remembered him. I just mentioned him a second ago.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, it's – I mean, if Darrell Taylor's standing up, though, and taking one of those linebacker outside spots, you know, it's not
– That's true.
You know,
yeah, I mean,
I do think you can take some of these defensive linemen and eat up one linebacker spot with that – I mean, I think Pruitt said, I mean, it's going to be a 3-4 base, but they're going to, even in the spring game, I mean, they have 4 down a good bit. So it's, I mean, they'll be able to put somebody out there. This is just not good for your depth.
I mean, I would say that I guess the majority of the season is going to be played in nickel anyway, right?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, we're talking about Tennessee having to play, what, 5 of the top 10 quarterbacks in the country. My guess is this team's going to get pretty comfortable with 2 linebackers on the field anyway.
Yeah.
But, boy, you talk about thin. Who do you, do we play any, just a power team? I don't think we have a super power team on the schedule. I mean, other than Bama, but yeah, they're.
I mean, do you think Georgia's going to still look just run it with the two-headed monster Georgia attack?
I'm just saying, like, there's no, like, West Virginia's going to pass.
Yeah.
Of the winnable games, like, none of these teams are going to just.
Auburn's going to be a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah, well, they were. I mean, again, like, they're going to be. Like, I'm not talking about those three.
You're talking, like, in the coin flip
game. Yeah, the coin flip games, all those teams are pass-happy or balanced, right? I mean, yeah. South Carolina maybe a little bit, but really they're going to rely on Bentley and Samuel. So the games that you were going to possibly have a chance to win and or steal, of which I think there are nine, those teams predominantly are either way worse than you or you're going to be playing nickel. I'm trying to find any positive.
I can tell. Florida, I mean, Florida's more of a run team now.
Ralph Webb's back, right?
Damn it.
It's not good.
Damn it. No, it's not good. Of course it's not good. I'm not trying to say it's good. I'm trying to find a positive. Like, well, look.
Yeah.
Are there any linebackers out there? Any linebackers out there?
Are there any Darren Kirkland Jr.'s on other teams?
Other teams?
Can we just trade him out?
Can we get Brandon Kennedy and a linebacker of our choice in trade for Bob Welton?
We need a player to be named later.
You know what? If you're going to name Bob Welton, we need Brandon Kennedy and...
one of those linebackers over there you're not using.
And one of those 52-year-old linebackers that run 4-4, if you don't mind. Oh, this one stings.
Linebackers sucked last year.
I know. That's why you're hoping you got Kirkland back there a little better.
The whole team sucked last year.
That's true, but goodness gracious.
I don't know. I don't know if we'll get more information about this one moving forward, you know, in the coming weeks. I'd imagine there'll be something. Whenever maybe Darren Kirkland gets to his next spot, he'll open up in an interview or something. I'm curious to know what went into this decision. Is it I want to be closer to home thing? Like, does he end up going to a school like Purdue or Northwestern? Back, he's from Indianapolis. Does he do that? A lot of people have mentioned UNC.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't know what the tie is there.
Coaching tie.
Okay. He was really interested in, I think, Michigan when he came out of high school. Is it possible he tries to go and, you know, GT to Michigan? I suppose. I think where he goes will tell us a little bit of the story. If he goes to UNC to follow a coach, like, just a coach he knows, not obviously one he's played for, right? I mean, I don't even know who's there. We didn't lose none of our coaches went to.
Isn't Robert Gillespie there?
No, it's Tommy Thigpen.
Oh.
Tommy Thigpen. Is it North Carolina?
Oh.
So that's the connection.
You'd rather go work under Tommy Thigpen than Jeremy Pruitt?
I know.
Really? Wait. Tommy Thigpen or Jeremy Pruitt?
Uh-huh. I mean, it's fine to say it. It's fine to say, is Darren Kirkland the mythical person everybody was, you know, like that? Hey, there's going to be people that just kind of likes being able to do whatever.
Listen. I am not down on Tommy Thigpen. He did his job here. He did a good job. But wait a minute. What's his track record? Who's the best linebacker Tommy Thigpen coached at Tennessee? He was here 5 years.
2013 to 2017.
Jalen Reeves.
That's Darren Kirkland's ceiling, right? Like, get hurt and be small and run around.
God, easy. He's in the NFL.
No, let me give credit where credit's due. Brian, I believe, said on Twitter that Darren Kirkland Jr. just doesn't fit what Jeremy Pruitt wants to do. He wants big guys, huge guys, mammoth, scary. Like you said, 50-year-old looking dudes that run 4.4s.
True.
He doesn't want some.
Why don't they list height and weight on the UT roster? Jeez,
because
you're embarrassed.
They are.
It could be the scheme. He might just not want to play in a 3-4.
That doesn't make any sense. Not as an inside guy.
Yeah,
I'm just throwing it out there.
It's
fine. Throw it out there, but it's not right.
Yeah, it was a nice try. It was a good effort.
That is dumb. Why don't they put the...
Because they're embarrassed.
I guess.
They're embarrassed about it.
We'll have to keep up with it.
I mean, Batuli's big. Bates is actually big. Sapp's not very big, but he is ripped like a monster.
How big's Ignat?
I want to say Ignat was pretty big. I don't remember much about Salon Page.
The way you said pretty big. Best in the world.
Best in the world. Think of Fitzgerald. Welcome, Will Ignat, to Tissy Way Room. Excited to have you today. Got an inlaid floor, so there's no separation between floor and platform. Gonna get great run in. Gonna sprint all around. Best in the world.
Thigpen is just, he's gone to like a different school every two years.
Craig Fitzgerald voices is the only thing that's probably going to make me happy this morning.
He started North Carolina. Then he goes Tennessee State, Bowling Green, Illinois.
Auburn for a long time, wasn't
North
he?
Carolina. He was at Auburn for 3 years.
Only three?
Yeah, I know, right?
Maybe Thigpen's not that good. Maybe he's not that good.
Then Tennessee. Tennessee is his longest stint in his coaching career. Think about that.
I mean, listen, I'm not upset if Darren Kirkland and Tommy Thigpen are, you know, close. But you would think, like, hey, what I was doing wasn't really working for me. Maybe working under some linebacker gurus would be good for my future. I'm just saying.
Speaking of strength and conditioning.
I mean, I'm not trying to convince the guy to come back. It's obviously too late.
Speaking of strength and conditioning, I mean, that obviously had to – it played a role in this team getting so hurt.
Speaking of hurt, I am. Right now.
Three and Outs driven by Toyota Knoxville, I-40 Level Road exit. This is the good news. You can get $300 off a new or pre-owned Toyota at Toyota Knoxville. New or pre-owned. New Toyota or pre-owned vehicle at Toyota Knoxville.
It could have been a Toyota.
It could have been.
Yeah, see.
It just doesn't have to be. I'm just saying, you get $300 off no matter what when you mention Fox Sports Knoxville at Toyota Knoxville. So if you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, swing in there. Tell them you heard about them right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
And then save $300.
Test drive.
Little sweet.
Tell them even if you don't buy that you heard about them right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. We'd appreciate that. If you're out shopping, give them a chance. They've been with us a very long time. Locally owned Toyota Knoxville. And, of course, you can shop the entire inventory online if you're just in the browsing stage at toyotaknoxville.com. They enjoy that as well. If you have questions, you can ask them from the comfort of your own home. Then when you're ready to test drive, swing in there. Tell them you heard about them right here on 3 and Out and Fox Sports Knoxville. And it's I-40, Level Road exits, the big one right there off Parkside Drive.
If they walk in for a test drive and say they heard about them on Fox Sports Knoxville, do you think like Sawyer would just hand them $300?
I don't think that's how it works.
I bet we could get
one way to find out.
I bet we could get a lot of test drives if Sawyer would agree to
that. If that was the deal.
Just walk make the loop. 300 bones.
I think they'd we just appreciate it if they are in the market.
Yeah.
To go ahead and mention it on the
front.
So
what you're saying is that is not the deal.
I don't
believe that. You got to buy a car.
Yeah, I think you do have to make a purchase.
New or used though.
That's true.
Yeah.
And they have some great deals. A lot of people think it's just brand new Toyotas that are, you know, pretty expensive. If you're in the pre-owned market.
Their used inventory is fantastic. Pre-owned sounds better.
But it
was probably not only owned but also driven. So pre-owned used.
Actually, Toyota Knoxville said the word used before.
Yeah, I don't think used is negative.
Fine, yeah.
Yeah. You just didn't want to say the used cars are cheap. That sounds bad.
That does sound bad.
Strike that from the podcast thing.
The pre-owned vehicles at Toyota Knoxville are a great value, and you can still get $300 off of them. So even if you're not paying the brand new car pricing, you can still get the $300 off. Just mention 3 and Out in Fox Sports Knoxville.
If you can find a car for $300,
they sell some for $995.
Find one for two? They give you $100 and a car.
That's a third off. A third off, almost. That's pretty good.
$995.
I don't know if they have any right now, but they do that at certain points of the
year.
Well,
you can check it on ToyotaKnoxville.com.
You can, right there. Just shop the inventory. And then when you're ready to test drive, it's going to be a great weekend for it. Get over there. Toyota Knoxville, I-40, Level Road exit right there on Parkside Drive. It's Toyota Knoxville, Knoxville's Toyota dealer.
Sweet!
Welcome back to 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. We're just chewing on the Darren Kirkland news. I don't know. There's lots of ways to spin this. There's going to be the people that are like, didn't want him anyway.
Yeah, about 9% of people, I would guess. Because the Sweet Peas Barbecue poll question is up. If you're looking for a Memorial Day BBQ lunch this weekend. They're closed
already.
Monday, I think, though. So.
Wait, what?
They're always closed Monday, and Monday's the holiday, so they're enjoying the holiday on the Monday they're off. But Saturday, Sunday, you can go to Sweet Peas Barbecue, two locations. Just go to sweetpeabbq.com, check them out. But I said, what was your immediate reaction to the news of Darren Kirkland Jr.'s decision to transfer? 4% devastated. Just devastated.
Yep.
61% are disappointed. Big difference there. No emotion, 26%. And 9% said, go on, get out of here. So 9% are basically saying, if you don't want to be here, we don't want you here.
I mean, that's always true. Like, if someone doesn't, if a recruit doesn't want to come play for you, you don't want them.
No, I know.
You can't force a guy to play well.
I don't know. Like, the Little Giants, Spike didn't really want to play for them, but they would have loved to have been able to keep Spike on the team.
Yeah.
Some guys are just really good. It doesn't really matter if they're happy or not.
The Banks kid in Mighty Ducks did come around.
Yeah, see? Tennessee could grow on you, you know? Of course, this is like the opposite.
Yeah, he kind of grew out of
Tennessee. Yeah, he grew out of it. Which means I don't want him even more. If you spend 3 years here and one out, you can go on and get. That's not true. It's not fair.
I know.
He's been through so much here. It's really not fair.
I
made the joke, like, I've been here 30 years as a fan, and I'm still here. Like, you know, he's got a career in football to think about. Just about everything that can go wrong for Darren Kirkland at Tennessee has. Injuries. Coaches getting fired. Worst season in school history. At least he got his degree. That's good, right? Proof that the scholarship thing does work out.
Yeah, in 3 years. That's how Butch Jones
photographic
like,
memory.
Pitched Darren Kirkland to the fan base. Hey, we got this linebacker.
Was he the most hyped Butch Jones recruit, like by Butch Jones himself?
Yes.
I think so too.
Absolutely. Not by the fans thinking, oh, this guy's a great, you know, a lot of stars. And
I mean, he was that. He was a 4-star guy. You know, he was.
Yeah, but like Jonathan Kongbo was a bigger deal to the fan base,
yes,
when he signed.
100%.
You know, like there were 5-star guys that you were more excited about. But in terms of Butch Jones getting in on the podium and saying,
the guy's a photographic memory.
He's going to call our defense. He's going to run the show. I mean, he started as a true freshman. We thought that meant everything. I mean, and it still does. The fan base wasn't wrong to be excited about a true freshman that had over 60 tackles and made all freshman SEC. It's just that, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can blame player development. There's lots of options here. You can blame player development for why he didn't. You can say, well, Darren Kirkland Jr. was obviously very good as a freshman, and then he didn't get any better because our coaching staff sucked. That's one take you could go with. You could say Darren Kirkland was pretty good as a freshman, and then, as One in Stripes pointed out, he was hurt the rest of his career here, and so he maybe just never got the opportunity to get better. One thing people don't realize a lot of times, or maybe they realize if they think about it, but they don't think about it, is when you're injured, even in the off season, it hurts your ability to stay in shape, go and train and get better at your craft. I mean, if you're a wide receiver and you twist an ankle in the bowl game, let's say, I mean, that's 4 weeks where you're not out running routes just for fun, throwing the ball around with the quarterback and getting a little better in the off season when it's, you know, not a non-practice, non-game situation. So being beat up is something that not only can take you off the field for the injuries, obviously, but hurts your development over time as you go through the, you know, 3 to 4 year process of hopefully in the fan base wanting you to be like a stud in your final year at the school. So maybe he didn't develop because he was beat up and he was injured. He was a little undersized for his position. But, I mean, all joking aside, we were kind of excited about that because we did see Jalen Reeves-Maven, when he was healthy, be an absolute college football animal. And as you mentioned, he's in the NFL now. Let's go to the phone lines and get to your reaction. Up first today on the program, we've got Matt. Matt, what's up? You're on 3 and Out.
What's up?
What's up, Matt?
What's up, fellas? Guys, I'll tell you what. I think it's Butch Jones' fault no matter what.
Yes.
You guys mentioned a second ago that...
Now you're talking.
It is. I mean, think about it. You just mentioned if it's his player development, Butch Jones' player development, but he gets injured, you know, that could be another way you could twist it as a fan. But I would say he got injured because of Butch Jones and that training staff. How many players got injured under that training staff?
A lot.
All of them.
Like, I think everybody.
Not the best.
Anybody
in the world.
Made it through. Yeah, I hate it, man. I hate that he's going. I think he could have been an asset for us this year, but
he would have been, Matt. And it's okay to say that. Like he would have helped your football team this year. I don't know how much, but he definitely would have helped you.
Yeah, I don't know how much either. Are we? Is this? I guess this is a different case, though. You know how we're Alabama's fought tooth and nail to keep this kid from coming up here, but DK can go anywhere in the SEC, correct?
That's what Pruitt said. He said if he's going to want guys to come from anywhere, he's not going to restrict them from going anywhere.
Hmm. Funny how that works, huh?
I gave him credit off the top of the show. If you're going to say one, you can't be a scoundrel on the other end, and he has said Darren Kirkland can go wherever he wants.
Well, Alabama seems like they got a pretty good habit this year of picking up Tennessee, not the DK to leftover, but taking Tennessee pieces. I mean, do you think he ends up at Alabama?
No, I think so far it sounds like he and Thigpen were pretty close. Thigpen's at North Carolina. That seems like a jump that would make sense for him, unless he wants to get closer to home. In that case, I mean, he's a really smart guy. A school like, you know, Purdue, Northwestern, something like that, I could see him going back up in that area. It was Tennessee and Michigan when he came out of high school, where I think his, like, final two schools. So maybe Michigan, I put them as maybe a flyer, but it sounds like a little birdie told me this morning that he and Thigpen were pretty close. So if he follows Thigpen to North Carolina, that would be, you know, I could see that happening. And then if he wants to be closer to home, that obviously wouldn't surprise me either. Honestly, another school in the SEC would surprise me.
Think so?
For me, yeah. I don't know why you would leave Tennessee to stay in the SEC if you're the starter at Tennessee. You know what I mean? Like, Brandon Kennedy, it makes sense. He's a center. You know, that's a position that you don't rotate, and he's not the starter. So he's saying, I want to be close to here but play for a team, you know, next year. Tennessee or Auburn makes a lot of sense. Darren Kirkland, you are the starter here. You are the starter in the SEC. I don't know where he would go to fill some type of different role. I think this has to be, in my opinion, either a homesick thing or a I want my old coach back thing.
So where was he his freshman year? Was he outside or what position? What linebacker was he playing?
I think he was middle, wasn't he?
He was inside, yeah. Yeah, he's been the Mike.
So if you take under a four linebacker, you know, you're 3-4, where would he fit in that scheme this year then? Is he still, I mean, would he be one of the middle two guys, or does that change up since he's a little bit smaller and that, you know, that system seems like it's ran a little bit differently when you're kind of targeting what linebacker you want.
He usually the
to a 4-3.
Yeah, in the 3-4, you still, the two inside guys, usually you have your strong side inside player that is obviously going to play, it'd be the thumper, right? He's going to line up on the tight end side of the formation. Of course, that's a little different in today's kind of spread game. But basically, he's going to take the side that the other team's more likely to run the ball towards. And then Darren Kirkland would have projected as your weak side inside linebacker, because you don't want him getting caught up with double teams and linemen that are coming off. You want him to be able to run and chase and tackle. So basically, I mean, he still would have projected as a weak side inside linebacker. That the outside guys in the 3-4 are generally actually bigger than the outside guy, you know, than the Will in the 4-3. So like Darrell Taylor is probably going to play your rush end this year, and then they'll have to figure out who's playing the other outside linebacker spot. I mean, I guess in a perfect world, J.J. Peterson comes in and is just an absolute stud, and he's plugged right in either beside Batuli or at the other outside spot. I just don't know what kind of his skill set is.
I'll tell you guys, on the way out the door here, and I appreciate the time, I really am excited about watching this defense this year. I mean, I don't know how good they're going to be, and I know this is this – we're in a – I hate saying it. I saw a meme online that had it's a Back to the Future meme, and he's getting out of the car, and Doc says, yeah, I just got back from the year 2028, and Tennessee's still rebuilding.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what this feels like.
The sad thing is I think that meme's like 20 years old.
Yeah, I do too. I just kind of – I think I've accepted it now. Yeah. I used to fight it and piss and moan, but it is what it is. But I guess to answer your all's Sweet Peas Barbecue question, which, by the way, they've got some of the best – if nobody's had the burrito down there.
Oh, the burrito. Oh, man.
The brisket burrito.
Game changer.
It is. I just don't care. I mean, if you don't want to be here and you're in the coach's shoes and this whole thing, they're just trying to change this culture of sloth that's been here for the last 10 years. I mean, I'm surprised we haven't had more changeover, to be honest with you. I don't know if Kirkland is leaving because of that. Maybe it's a simple deal, but if any of these players don't want to be here, I say, man, just go play wherever you want. I don't even care if it's in the SEC. See you, fellas.
Thanks for the call, man. Thanks for the call, bud.
We got to hit a quick break. We'll come back, final segment, kind of talk about some of Matt's comments on the flip side. Final segment, hour one, coming right back at you here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number one. We're talking about Darren Kirkland Jr. transferring away. It's a grad transfer. Nathan on Twitter says if he was going to play enough of a role to matter, he would have stayed. Sounds like coaches were committed to other options. I don't think so. I don't think that was it. I think, we called it a shock. Even last night, I said this has to go in the shocker category. And I believe everyone was surprised by this decision. Not just media members, not just, fans, but everyone. So take that for what it's worth.
Do you want to give more of a qualifier than that? You should probably say, like, we heard that.
I thought that was implied. You mean to say that?
It wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that sounded like an opinion.
The fans were obviously shocked.
Right.
The media was obviously shocked because no one broke the story before Darren Kirkland posted it to Twitter.
Right.
We've heard that people inside the program were also shocked. If that
Yeah, because like
a lot
of people, like I just tweeted out, you know, that's what I led the show with. I want to give Jeremy Pruitt a lot of credit because the first thing he said last night at the Big Orange Caravan was, if you've graduated, I think you should be able to do whatever you want, basically. You can go wherever you want. I'm not going to block you, and I would hope that other coaches wouldn't block players from coming here. He said that last week or earlier this week talking about Brandon Kennedy, and this test comes for him pretty quickly of, do you mean what you say, or do you just say it when it suits you, a.k.a. Nick Saban? And the first thing he said last night was, nope, if Darren doesn't want to be here, he's got his he's graduated, he's got his degree, he can go wherever he wants. But it does sound like, based on some of the things we're hearing this morning, maybe this was a surprise to even the coaching staff. And if that's the case, that's very odd. Because then I would have to think, if that's the case, then Darren Kirkland has been in communication with somebody at another school, right? Is that technically tampering?
Yeah,
I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble, unless I am.
I mean,
I don't know. It just seems strange, that's all.
No,
I mean, it seems like you don't do this unless somebody's in your ear telling you, hey, here's why you should do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And I don't know if you can.
I'm speculating.
Are there ways that, we've already talked about it. Are there ways that, that Tommy Thigpen or somebody like him at another school, if Darren Kirkland goes somewhere else, can just like basically tell a runner, hey, there's that Kirkland kid over at.
Yeah, carrier pigeon.
Or maybe the players. I don't know if this is true or not, but if Kirkland is that close to Thigpen, maybe he's continued to keep up with him. I know,
yeah, and he can reach out to a former coach, and it's not a problem,
right,
to my knowledge, as long as he's the one initiating the conversation.
So if he's reached out and said, Coach, I'm not so sure about Tennessee this year. You know, this is going on. This is happening. They said this or that, or, you know, they obviously want bigger guys, and you know, they've been – I don't know. I don't know what it would be. Maybe he's just, like I said, the whole Butch Jones saga just wore Darren Kirkland out as a player, like being a part of this program, and the fact that you're going to have a new coach and new coaching staff just wasn't enough of a cleanse for him. Maybe he just felt like he needed to get away and start over. And so, if it was that much of a shock, then that line of thinking makes sense.
I mean, he is a little small for the position, right? I mean, if they had left him inside, he's 6'1", 235.
Yeah.
J.J. Peterson coming in as a true freshman is 6'2 and a half, 231. And I'd imagine he'll be bigger than that when he gets here. Now, obviously, J.J. Peterson's an outside guy, right? Or were they wanting him for the middle? Or maybe we'll just have to wait and see.
He's listed as an outside
linebacker on the recruiting services. Obviously, he could get here, and especially now with this departure, they think, hey, you probably need to move somewhere else, move in and take the place for... You know,
yeah, a lot of times in recruiting, a guy will be listed as an outside linebacker because he's played outside linebacker in high school in a 4-3. And whether he's played the Sam or Will, like, either one of those could project to either of the inside linebacker spots in the 3-4. So it really just depends. I don't know how the coaching staff, you know, views J.J. Pearson and his skill set. I mean, that's a little taller than Darren Kirkland, and they'll have to put some weight on him. But that's right in the same, going to be the same weight. So I don't know. J.J. Pearson was a 4-star player, of course. Was he the highest rated player they got in the early signing period last year? If not the highest, he was one of. He was one of those guys people were starting to kind of freak out as some of the other players that Tennessee was in on late were trying to, the really kid everybody got mad at doing the whole Georgia-Tennessee flip thing.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
But, I mean, J.J. Pearson was a guy Alabama wanted, and Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt, you know, they were able to hold on to him, and probably for this reason. I mean, probably you got Jeremy Pruitt in his ear saying, buddy, you're going to get to play immediately. You're going to be a star on my defense. You know, let's go. So at that size, I would think J.J. Peterson's playing inside already in the 3-4. But I don't know that he is. If he's really 6'2.5" and about to be 6'3", and they feel like they can put, you know, 25 pounds on him, then maybe he's an outside guy at some point. Maybe out of necessity he plays inside this year, and then you go from there. But we'll have to see. He's a very, very important player now for this team in 2018. Another one of those players out of Georgia, we talked about it yesterday on the recruiting trail. I mean, they're trying to clean up in the state of Georgia. And,
as they should.
If J.J. Pearson does well, then that'll just be another card to go back down to, you know, Colquitt County and say, come on, let's get some more.
Yep.
With any rebuild, you've got to win with either earlier players or players that weren't as good with the last staff kind of elevating their game. So J.J. Peterson, one to watch. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number two of the program. It's 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville.